Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature special guests who are both experiencers and researchers in the realm of NDEs. You're welcome to call in to ask questions and make comments during the show. Ring toll-free at 877-876-5227 in the U.S. or 888-810-322 in Canada. Otherwise, you can ring direct at 530-876-3222. There are a number of services available through our organization Toward the Light, providing near-death studies and support, Reiki and remote healing, psychic, spiritual, grief, and motivational counseling, NDE books and DVDs, and other products for body, mind, and spirit. I'd also like to encourage you to help support this program and BBS Radio by making a donation or sponsoring a show. For more information, please visit our website, towardthelight.org. This week, I'm very pleased to have a friend from Lancashire, which is also my birthplace, the author of a couple of very tremendous and thought-provoking books. The first one is called You Will Be Wiser When You're Older, and the next one is called The Stars Are Falling. This man has been through multidimensional, out-of-body, abduction, and other spiritually transformative experiences. Let us welcome to Toward the Light, Matthew Deluz. Welcome, Matthew, and how are you, friend?
Hello, Juliet. I'm very fine. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be speaking to you tonight.
It's wonderful to speak with you.
Yeah, it's just that I can hardly hear you. It's very low volume for some reason. I can hear you, but very, very low volume.
Well, I'll do the best I can to talk a bit louder. My voice never grew up. Well, why don't we start, Matthew, by your telling the listening audience a bit about. Actually, you've been on quite a tremendous path, really, since childhood. So why don't you start, if you don't mind, describing some of the experiences you had when you were a child?
Yeah, well, the main experience I had as a child, I was about 66 years old, and it was I was basically playing out with my friends, as young boys do. And I suddenly got a strong urge to go home. Something was alerting me to go home. So I set off to let my friends playing, and running home to my home. I had to climb over a wall to get home. Taking a shortcut home, I had to climb over a wall. And while I was climbing over this wall, a bird in a tree caught my eye. It seemed to attract my attention. And the bird hopped up the tree, branch by branch, and as it approached the top of the tree, it flew away in the direction. And my eyes followed it. And my eyes followed the bird, I picked up a light. I could see a light in the distance. And the light seemed to attract my attention. The best way of explaining it is a torch moving around. If you move a torch around and it shines on the wall, something like that, just a weird light flying all over the place. And then it seemed to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and I was transfixed in the position watching it. And basically, it came flashing towards my face. And I seemed to go into some sort of a trance-like state, for want of a better word. And next minute, I was surrounded like in like a mist. and then that seemed to enter some sort of a craft or a machine. And as I say, I was only 6 years old at the time, and it's very hard to put it into words. But basically, I ended up with two men. One looked very strange, but the other one was a blonde-haired man, and he looked, a very nice person. The first impression I got was he was a very nice person. And he calmed me down. He made me feel at ease, in a way. And basically, he guided me over to a window that was in the crafter machine or whatever it was. And he said, come and look out the window. And as I approached the window, I could see my friend that had left just a few minutes before. But they couldn't see me or the craft. They were just carrying on playing and doing what they were doing before I left them. And basically I started asking this person questions and creating a bit of a noise because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know where I was. And then a lady came towards me, and she calmed me down. Before the lady came in, I'd seen to travel around in so fast, so instantly. Wherever I thought of, I was there. I thought of my school. As soon as I thought of my school, I was over the school, looking at the school. As soon as I thought of anything I thought of, I was splashing around. So I thought of my mother. I wanted to see my mother, and in an instant, I was looking down at my house with my mother through the kitchen window, and she was washing the dishes in the sink, and I could plainly see her. And it was so real, you know. I was literally in a machine, looking down at my own house, and I could see through the kitchen window, and my mother was washing the dishes. Then the man said, "You don't want to." I really thought I was going to go home. Then I thought they was going to let me out of the machine. I could just walk into my house. But no, the machine shot up in the air at tremendous speed. You could see the earth getting smaller and smaller and smaller. The best way of describing that, Juliet, is to mention the Google Earth on the UR on computers. It was a similar situation to what you can see now on Google Earth, but this was 40 years ago.
How did that feel for you when you were going through that, when you saw yourself actually going farther away from the planet.
I started to get a bit scared. Mm. And I started kicking and screaming and asking questions, and I got really, really upset, and I wouldn't get any answers off the man. And I must have created so much noise and book that a lady came in, a beautiful looking lady came into the room. And I mean really beautiful. I immediately felt a tremendous love for this woman. An awe-inspiring love for her. I don't mean romantic stuff. I mean completely, utterly love for this person. And she really calmed me down in an instant. And she started talking to me, and she was saying things that I didn't understand, but to make it short, she said that although I couldn't remember her, I'd previously promised her that I would help in the future when I grew up, and even though she kept telling me that I couldn't remember promising her because I'd come to Earth. I'd been born as a human being on Earth. So for that reason, I could not remember what I promised her before I came here. But we were linked in some way. I know that may sound strange, but that's the way it was. She was telling me that I could not remember because I'd actually been born on Earth and had to live a life as everybody else was on Earth without remembering the reason I was here. That's the way I understand it now anyway. And basically, I was shown, even though I was only a little boy, I was shown very graphic visions of what's happening on Earth in the future. And it was really graphic, destruction, death, starvation, murder, animals being sacrificed, very nasty visions of what was going to happen. Doom and gloom. And I was then told that I would help prevent this from happening. But the reason I was being spoken to then was I was going to be warned that I was going to have some very bad experiences in the very near future. And even though I was only a little boy, I had to be brave and everything would be all right in the future, and I'd get through the bad experiences and I'd learn from them, and I'd basically help in the future because of the bad experience I was going to have. Well, obviously at the time, I didn't take it seriously. I didn't, a six-year-old boy, I'd just thought, oh, something bad's going to happen, that's it. And I never really, it didn't really affect me worrying about what was going to happen. The vision that they showed me did affect me, and I really wanted to help prevent these things happening. To put it bluntly, I was being shown what would happen 40 years, 50 years after the event that was happening in the 1960s. And what the lady was trying to tell me that with hindsight is that before I can help prevent these things happening, I had to experience some very bad things to see what actually goes on this planet, or in this world, as I prefer to say. Anyway, I was the machine took me back to my home. I was let out, and I ran home. Basically, I never mentioned it to my parents. I went in, had something to eat, sat there, just really with a very little memory of what had actually happened. I knew something had happened, but I didn't have full memory as I do now. And basically, as a six-year-old lad, I just forgot about it. I know that sounds silly with what I'm telling you and the story I told you, but I did not have full recall of this until I was much older.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
It's so interesting because it's a lot like you know what you went through in that original experience is so similar to many things that I saw during my near-death experience that I had in the mid-70s. I mean, it was just incredibly profound. And being made to be aware on a deep level of all of the pending catastrophes that were going to happen on this earth, and then we are given assignments to help neutralize or avoid those things happening. So everything you're saying is making perfect sense. Please continue, Matthew. This is wonderful. Go ahead.
It's okay. I can understand that people, some people would assume I'm a complete raving lunatic for saying such things. and, you know, it's obvious that these people that talk about being abducted with alien beings and stuff like that seem to be some kind of nutcase. I can fully understand that. But I can assure anybody listening to this radio show that I have absolutely no reason whatsoever to tell this story if I have not experienced it. I mean, I'm a working class man. I've worked in factories and mills all my life. I'm not an airy fairy dreamer. I'm a typical working class bloke. And I assure anybody out there that I'm not making any story up about what happened to me. So I'll carry on with what you want. As I say, the lady told me that I would suffer some very bad experiences. And it wasn't long before I can only describe as a negative alien abduction experience. It, basically, at night time in my bed while I was falling asleep, or after I'd fell asleep, I was awoken by what I can only describe as alien beings. What can you say? Reptilian type beings. Horrible looking creatures that seem to appear at the bottom of my bed like a nightmare. On the first occasion, the being that came to my bed had a green light in his hand, like a torch. I call it a wand. It was like a long, thin piece of green, illuminating green something, whatever it was. And he touched my leg with it, like a light touched my leg, and I was immediately rendered paralyzed. Basically paralyzed. I couldn't move. All I could move was my eyes. I couldn't move my eyes around. Now, I know this day and age, you're told that it's sleep paralysis and things like that. But again, it wasn't anything like that. I know it wasn't anything like that. And basically, I was lifted up, floated through solid objects, mainly the window on a couple of occasions, through the glass, just floated through the glass like some magician's trick, and again zoomed up into the sky. So fast, it's unbelievable how to describe it. I remember basically seeing the gutterings on my house, the roof, and then woof, you were miles and miles and miles in the sky. How this happened, I have no idea, but that's how it happened. I went through the what's known now as experiments. A lot of abductees have mentioned experiments, Julia. Basically messing around with I had sperm samples taken aged about 9 to 10 year old, and people say that you can't produce sperm at 9 and 10 year old, but I assure you, at around 9 or 10 year old, I was going pubic hair and I produced sperm. People seem to think that you can't produce sperm at that age, but you can. I had these very many bad experiences. It would take me hours to go through them with you, Juliet. But basically, I was psychologically terrorized by some sort of evil, bad, malevolent power. And I cannot get across to people, basically, mentally and spiritually terrorized. Why, I can't explain in an interview where you take me hours and hours and hours. But this went on until I was 14, 15 years old.
Wow.
And then they stopped. Because I'd learned how to defend myself.
How frequently did this happen, Matthew?
In the early days, up to the age of about 11 years old, it was very frequent. Very, very, very frequent. Every week or so. And then it just, yes, it was so frequent. And then as I got older, and I learned how to battle it off or whatever they'd finished what they wanted to do with me, it disappeared altogether. Especially, I had another experience that may interest your listeners. When I was 14 years old, the experience was an out-of-body experience. While I was having dental treatment, because in the 1970s we used to have when we had teeth extracted, they used to use gas and not you unconscious. These days they use an injection. There's no gas used, but in the 1970s I was in a dentist and they put me unconscious, and I floated out of my body, like a body experience, under the influence of this gas. And basically, again, I watched myself float upwards. I floated right through the ceiling of the dental surgery, and I floated into the sky, and I looked around, and a door opened, and I found myself in a craft, a machine, whatever you want to call it. But this time it was a pleasant experience. I saw a man in robes, looked like Santa Claus, had a beard, long beard, white hair. And he basically told me that it was over with. You know, the bad things that were going to stop and be finished. And all I had to do was be a good boy. And it was like at the end of the experience, sort of thing. The negative experiences that I had were actually over with then. If that makes sense. It was like you've gone through, you've learned what you had to learn, and now it's done and dusted. Now you'll be able to move on. And then after that, Juliet, I led a pretty normal, what people would assume to be a normal life. I got married, I had a couple of children, and worked hard. I'm only a working man, a factory worker, worked in a metal aircraft factory. And basically, for the next 15 years, nearly 20 years, I didn't have many experiences at all. We just lived a normal life. But I always felt that something big was going to happen in your life later on. I always knew that this world that we live in is not what it appears. And
exactly.
As I got to into my 30s, I started to question. Things were happening in my life that caused me to question everything about my life, my work, my marriage, everything. I seemed to question everything. Basically, due to I can only describe as mistreatment by my employers. I worked in a factory, and a new management team came into the factory to run it with an iron fist, to be honest. And there was a bit of workplace bullying going on, and mistreatment. And that added to my thoughts at the time that things in this world wasn't what they meant to be, and I was questioning everything in my life at that time. And over a period of 2 years, things started to really go downhill for me, and I was feeling really bad in myself. And to cut a long story short, I experienced what I describe as a spiritual awakening in work, that other people would describe as appeared to other people that I'm having a nervous breakdown. And I can see how people think that people with that experiences like me can be classed as a nutcase or a lunatic, because the symptoms that I was suffering at the time can appear to look like you're having a nervous breakdown because you're questioning and your mind is working overtime. Would you like me to describe the spiritual awakening things that I experienced?
Nothing that you say sounds weird to me. Of course, I've
what I'm saying is that I was under pressure at work, and all the things in my life had seemed to have come to a head.
Yeah.
And I had to ask myself. I had to go into myself and ask myself why I was living. Why I was it? Julie, to cut a long story short, I was being mistreated at work, and this one day I was given a job which involved working up some ladders raised off the ground 30 feet or so. Really big ladders, really
yes.
Big job. And I was in such a frame of mind that day with the pressures I was feeling and going into myself, asking myself questions, that when I went up this ladder, I basically got to the stage in my life where I wanted to throw myself off. I'd had enough. I wanted to go. I wanted to die. I still loved my wife and my family, but I couldn't cope with the thoughts that were going through my head about work and everything else. And I was very, very close to jumping off the ladders. I had a choice. I either surrendered to my own mind, my questioning mind, that I was asking questions about my life, or jumping off the thing. And at that very moment in time, it was the 10th of October 1998, I was literally, I know this is going to sound nasty, listeners, I was literally zapped with some sort of electronic force, and it entered my body at the back of my neck, at the top of my spine. And this force, whatever it was, literally forced my spine to vibrate. If anybody's ever had an electric shock, they'll know the sort of power I'm talking about. And literally, my spine vibrated in my body. And my total outlook changed basically instantly. My outlook on life changed completely in 5 seconds.
I'd like to ask you something here, because you mentioned when you had that first encounter when you were ladder six with the beautiful lady.
Yeah.
She or somebody actually did something to the top of your spinal column at that time. Do you think that this incident was related or connected to that?
When I was in the machine or the craft or whatever with a lady, I was made to sit on a chair, and I couldn't see what was going on at the back. Obviously, I couldn't see what was going on behind me. And somebody, I felt a tremendous pain in the top of my spine, at the back of my neck, a really, really powerful pain, and I screamed out. And the lady calmed me, and she told me then, she said, you will know when you go through bad experiences that we will sort it out and help you out as soon as you've learnt from the experience you've gone through. It was a sort of a message that sort of say, no matter how bad life gets or how much pain you go through, they would sort it out as soon as they could and help me and relieve the pain. And they did mess with something on the back of my neck. Now, whether it was released, some sort of disaster was put in, I was made to think that some sort of disaster was put into my neck, and then when I was up the ladder at 39 years old, it was taken away. Or something was placed in my neck that could receive some sort of force, power, or whatever, I don't know. All I can tell you, Julia, is, and I can tell you listeners, I'm not making anything of me, so all I felt was a complete whoosh of a power, and it was so powerful, I literally shook. And I felt such tremendous, the same love as I felt when I saw the lady when I was sick, the same kind of overpowering love I felt while I was basically up the ladder, raised off the ground. And when I got down to the ladder, nothing mattered. All the stress and strain that I'd been under had disappeared. They'd just gone. I just didn't worry. I didn't feel any stress or anything. And I went down and I faced the people that had tormented me for two or three years. And I really had so much power in me that they just didn't worry me anymore. I just didn't care. I didn't worry about the job. Losing the job meant nothing. I'd immediately woken up. I'd literally woken up, and I could see a totally different world. And I've seen a totally different world ever since. Obviously, some people might say, well, what you've done, Matthew, you've had a nervous breakdown, and that's it. That's all you've done. You've suffered a nervous breakdown. But that is not the case, because from that day onwards, I remembered a psychic, because from the ages of 20 to 30 odd, as I say, I lived a normal life, fully asleep. I was just a robot for this world, operating in this world as a robot, going to work, going to sleep, going shopping, deciding to go. Everybody does. We're literally robots for the state. And during that time, I was informed by a psychic in 1996. I was informed by a psychic about a load of events, and I didn't take this psychic seriously at the time. I just didn't take it seriously. A bit of a skeptic, if you like, about psychics and stuff like that. But everything that this psychic said in the mid-90s came true in the late 90s, five or six years later. And everything that the psychic said has been come true in the last 3 or 4 years. As I say, I'm a factory worker. To be told that you'd start writing books and passing on information and talking about alien abductions and things like that, there's no way in 1995 that I believed it for 1 minute. But yeah, I am here. I am doing it. You know, and not worried about the consequences. I want to dare come on any radio show or wrote any book mentioning my childhood experiences. No way. But now I'm openly and willingly doing it. And basically, Juliet, whatever happened up the ladder, when I was up the ladder, whatever power struck me in the back of the neck is a very powerful force that determined see that what's happening in the world at this present moment in time comes to a stop. That's what I feel. It's got to be stopped, what's going on. The current events in this world are leading to such a nasty, evil world that it has to be stopped. And that's what I believe the force, whatever it was, that's woken me up, is operating with other people.
Exactly. Yes, it is. Big time. And in fact, I think, you know, some of the timetables that you've mentioned have also been really significant, because I went through a lot of changes in 98 and 99 also, and it was really interesting reading your book. I just kept reading, and I finally finished it last night. And first of all, I wanted to tell you they're beautifully written. You've done a tremendous job on them. They're very clear. They're very concise. It's very easy to follow and to understand. And I also, you know, it triggered a lot of memories of experiences that I've been through also. And then also reading in your blog about, you know, what you discovered in Blackpool. I mean, it just had me gobsmacked. I was blown away by that. And I have to say, according to everything that I've been through and that I've researched, everything that you've said is spot on, and you're not mad, and you certainly haven't had a nervous breakdown, not at all. You've been through what I would call a heavy initiation. It's not finished yet, but, you know, it's because of people like you, like me, and a number of other people who have just suddenly been called to, you know, to share this message. But we had to go through these experiences in advance so that we could speak from experience rather than just research. So this is tremendous. And I really commend you for this, what you're doing. Let's pause for just a moment, and if you would like, share with the audience how people can find your material. You got websites, anything like that you'd like to share, please feel free to do so.
Talking about experience, learning from experiences, my life followed a path where I have witnessed most of the bad things in the world to probably help me try and expose them as I get older. I've just finished writing another book. It's in rough form at the moment. I'm hoping to get it published somehow in the next month or so.
Great.
To write these things, I have to talk off my direct experiences. And what I remember going back to my childhood again was I ended up, I don't know what they have in the States, but in England, if you have problems as a young person, or you've got problems with your parents or whatever, they put you in what they call care of the local authority.
I remember that, yes.
Now, care homes for young people, or approved schools if you've been misbehaving. Now, for some reason or other, I ended up being placed in the care of the local authorities in Lancashire, by Lancashire County Council. And when I think back, I didn't really deserve to be put in care, and my parents didn't need the stigma of having me put in care at the time. But I ended up in care. It was like a fate. It was fate. I ended up in care. And when I think back now, what I witnessed in the care homes is going to enable me to be able to explore what actually goes on in the care homes. The abuse of children, the authorities are basically corrupt. And I could not do this without having experienced it myself. And
exactly. I've got a question for you. Was that as a result of that drawing that you did connected with Jesus in the classroom? I know that that triggered something too.
You know what I'm talking about? Yes, of course I do, yes. What happened to your listeners, to your listeners' point of view, is when I suffered, when I experienced the thing up the ladder, the powerful force going into my spine, it brought back, also brought back a lot of memories that I previously didn't exist. I'd slight memory of them, but once I'd come down from the ladder, I was zapped on, the memories came back more vividly. And this is very important, really. I experienced in classroom at school, where we was told it was coming up to, it was coming up to Easter, and it was Palm Sunday. It's Palm Sunday today. And we was told in class to draw something connected to Easter. Jesus and all this in the classroom. And basically, everybody were drawing Jesus and donkeys, and all I did was write the word Jerusalem, and I put four letters around it, surrounding the word Jerusalem, which were Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I did it in letter form, M-L-J. And basically, I don't know why I'd done that. It was like something technology or automatic or whatever, but I couldn't be drawing donkeys and Jesus. I just drew this thing. And as a teacher came round looking at his work, she pulled me out to the classroom and ridiculed me in front of the class for not doing what I was told. Basically, I got a telling off, but she didn't just tell me off. She took me in front of the class and really killed me, not all the class laughing at me. And basically, I was sent to the headmistress to get the cane for being disobedient, because I'd reacted to ridiculing her by calling her a liar because the story that she was telling the class. I don't know where these words had come from, but I basically had a row with the teacher, and I said, she was a liar, and the story she was telling was false. And I was taken to the headmistress, and that, on a 5 cents memory, that's all I could remember. I got the cane, I got the ruler across my hand, three lashes of the ruler. It was my punishment for what I'd done. And that, before I had the experience up the ladder, that's all I could remember. But after the experience up the ladder, I remembered being taken to a building in my hometown, which is Burnley in Lancashire. I was taken to a building and put in, sat in front of a table with a man and a lady, nicely dressed, and the room smelled very clean and polished. And the man got a box out. He started talking to me, and he got a box out of his desk, and he put the box on his desk, and he opened the box, and he got a large gold coin out of the box, and he basically drew it. He spun it on the table, and he had two lamps, and the two lamps were shining on the coin. And it was making me concentrate looking at the golden coin that was spinning. And I was trying to fight this. I knew it was wrong for me to look at this coin, and I was trying to look away from it. And so he got another coin out, and he spun that. And I saw there were two coins spinning, and with the light effect on them, it was very dazzling. It seemed like there was sparks coming off... off the coin. They were very, very hypnotic. And I was only a young boy at the time, and I was basically having an adult conversation with this man, this doctor type man. And he was telling me that he was swearing at me and telling me that I wouldn't remember what was going on, and I wouldn't be speaking about this, and I wouldn't be drawing this, and he was telling me that he was basically insulting me and insulting everything about me, my family, and he was very, 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 very nasty. And all I can remember is that I passed out. I was put under hypnosis of an hypnotic sleep. And all I can remember doing before I fell asleep in a hypnotic state was that I would remember one day, and I vowed to myself that day that I would remember what he was doing to me, and I have done. You know, it's so real to me what happened in that room with the man and the spinning coins. It's so real now that, as I said, before I had the experience with the ladder, I had no memory. Only I had flashbacks of it, very little bits of memory. And as I say, the memory only came back to me after I'd been up the ladder. But it's so, so real. And it makes more sense to me that I couldn't remember on a 5 cent level before I went up the ladder. I was somehow stopped from remembering what the man had done. And it was a very, very... heartbreaking experience when I remembered it, because it brought back the memories of this man swearing at me, threatening me, and sort of abusing me. It was so really upsetting that this man knew that I had information in me that he didn't want me sprouting about and saying it, even as a young boy. And that man basically silenced me as a child. And that experience in itself tells me that there's a very, very, very nasty force that's covertly ruling this world. The world we see in front of us today, what we believe is being run by democratic governments and nice people, is not. It's being run by a very, very negative force that is using very, very clever people to make it appear that we're living in a free world.
Exactly.
And we're not living in a free world. We're living in a illusionary world. What I'm leading up to in the story is that there is a force behind the official version of events in the world that's operating behind the scenes. I hope I'm making sense on that. The best way of it, describing it, your local, I'm assuming you have local councils in the state, like city councils, county councils, or whatever you have. We have a system of town councils and county councils where the official local authority is seen to be a democratic organisation. But there's obviously something going on behind the scenes that make the official local authority organisations look democratic when they're not. They're being told what to do. We think we're voting in people that are going to operate on the best interests of the public, and that's not the case. We are voting in people that are just following a script written by people behind the scenes. That's the best way I can describe it in the time we have. That sort of thing, and then it goes... the same thing applies to national governments. What you've got is, in the States, you're voting the party, you've got George W. Bush in at the moment. But George W. Bush is not really running the scene. He's just following a script that's been provided for him to make it look like we live in a free world. The same applies with England and the British government. We've got a person in at the moment called Tony Blair, as you all know, and basically is a powerful force that's controlling people like Tony Blair to make it appear like we live in a democracy and everything's free and we voted these in, and these people are running the world. They're not running the world at all. They're just puppets that's operating for a negative force that's giving them an agenda to follow, and they're just following the agenda. Their job is, people like Tony Blair and George Bush and the rest of the politicians that's currently claimed to be running the world are following orders of other people, and their job is to bluff or con the masses into accepting that they are running the world. It is a democratic world, and we can change it. We can't change anything through the governments that's running the world at this present moment in time, because they are not running the world. They're following orders, Juliet, if that makes sense to you.
Oh, it makes total sense. It makes total sense to me, and in fact, again, I've seen a lot of what you've been through. So I know that what you're saying is true.
Well, a very good example has just come to light in the last few weeks. I don't know if it's on the news a lot in the States, but it's never off the news here. That's the case of the 15 British service people that's supposed to have been in Iranian waters and have been getting prisoner by the Iranians. Is it on the TV over in the States a lot?
I don't actually watch telly, so I don't know. You know, I'm not aware of what's on telly now because I don't watch telly.
At the current moment in time, I understand. There's been 15 British service people been taken prisoner by the Iranians, and it's obvious to me, and I'd like to let your listeners aware, that this is just one big scam to cause more trouble with in the Middle East and create the first stepping stone to create a war with Iran. Now, the people that's done this, they're not democratic governments and politicians. This has been planned so they can create such a hatred between the countries by outside forces that have created the situation. And basically what we're going to head to here is a war with Iran simply because some people behind the scenes have created a situation that causes the two countries to row and give them an excuse to start conflict with Iran. I mean, if you step back and look at the situation, you can see that somebody has manipulated the situation so much that it can't be stopped because it's so conniving and deceptive. It's a very deceptive power that's doing things like this. Obviously, we can't say, on a 5 cent level, the politicians are going to say, we can't have this happening, we can't have this happening. They've took 15 British servicemen and now they're going to pay for it. And but it's obvious to me that there's more to it. There's a lot more to it. But the masses are just fobbed off with the simplest excuse that these 15 people... It's an all and innocent thing, and it shouldn't have happened. I hope that makes sense as an example as to how forces can manipulate events to create problems.
Exactly.
The David Icke problem reaction solution sort of thing. It's created a problem to get the reaction that they have. The reaction is that we can't have this happening, the 15 servicemen being innocently taken. And the solution is, let's have a bit of trouble with Iran, maybe start a war. Over something that's been created and manipulated in the first place. And that's just one example, Juliet, obviously with the time we have.
The one thing that gives me hope is that people like you and, you know, a number of people, bless him, have been made have these experiences and come forth and say, this is what's going on. And so, and you even mentioned that in your book, The Stars Are Falling, towards the end, you are talking about how the light will prevail, you know, that this will be stopped. And it's because of, you know, these strange and painful experiences that people like yourself have been made to go through, so that together we can help wake up the masses and get them to claim back their own thoughts.
The simplest way I think of putting it is if you imagine that all the world's population is under some kind of mass hypnosis, that we're actually living in a world under hypnosis, and there's the more people that can snap out of the hypnosis that we're under can trigger other people to wake them up as well. So what you'd have, instead of having a world that's operating while all the people are suffering hypnosis, even though they can't imagine that for 1 minute, then the more people that awaken, then they can provide triggers for the rest of the people to wake up as well. I was totally asleep myself. I was totally unaware of what was going on in the world from the age of 20 to 40. So I'm quite well aware that how easy it is to forget, not even believe anything about being under hypnosis or being tricked. Because I was exactly the same. But now I can see how the masses are kept under constant hypnosis, either programmed and controlled mentally and physically to just live an humdrum life, going along with what we told of the politicians and the chance taken up with running a family and keeping a family and keeping a roof over their head and things like that. And that's how people are controlled. But there is a few people in the world that snapped out of the hypnosis. And if these people can pass on triggers that will basically unlock people from their hypnosis, then yes, that's when the light, as you call it, will be successful and expose what's actually going on in this world. That's the way I see it, and that's the best way I can describe it. It's to provide the triggers that will unlock other people out of their hypnosis that they're under. No one knows they're hypnotized until they've been de-hypnotized or unhypnotized.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly, Julia. That's the message I have. people do not realise that they've been hypnotised or they've been mind controlled or whatever, and they need them triggers. But once you sense them triggers inside yourself, then one leads to another, and then another, and another, and another, and then all of a sudden you can see things far more clearly. That's the way I feel anyway.
Well, this has really been tremendous, Matthew. I want to thank you so much for being on Toward the Light this evening.
Well, no, that's okay. I just apologise for being an amateur. I'm not used to talking on radios and stuff, but I've tried to get my point. I've tried to get the stuff across I wanted to get across. And it's been a pleasure anyway, Julia.
Oh, you've done wonderful. And tell us a website where we can find your books. Tell the audience, the listening audience, what the
website is. Well, the most easiest place for people to remember, and it's an highly recommendable site, is davidicke.com. David Icke, in my opinion, everybody should listen to David. David, to me, is probably the best speaker in the world on this subject. And other subjects.
Oh, yes.
So davidicke.com, basically, I can, my books are available on there. There's also another site, but basically, davidicke.com has all the links to it, anything for me. And I highly recommend David to any of your listeners. In fact, he's got a set of three DVDs out. In my opinion, they're compulsive. They should be compulsive education. He's a marvellous speaker.
He is wonderful, and hopefully I will have him on Toward the Light here soon. We're working on that. You've just done tremendous. I want to thank you for being on Toward the Light this hour. We're having to close this transmission of Toward the Light for this week. Matthew, we'll have to have you back because there's so much that we could be talking about, and it's really, really wonderful.
Well, it'd be a pleasure. It'd be a pleasure any time, Julia. It really was.
Well, let's make mention of your book again. The first one is You'll Be Wiser When You're Older, and the other one is called The Stars Are Falling by Matthew Deluse. Wonderful books, and I remember seeing this also on experiences.com.
Experiences.net.
I should have mentioned it.
davidicke.com.
Oh, right. And also, everyone will be able to find you on my website, towardthelight.org. Once again, I want to thank everybody for joining us this week for this transmission of Toward the Light. Remember that it is only with the heart that one sees rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Please remember that only love prevails. Until next week, bless you, and thank you for joining us on this transmission of Toward the Light, leading back to the source. Cheerio for now.